Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. I have a high-functioning brain.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Jeff Lutz.
Goodness gracious, you're really struggling today. If I had said that, I mean, I'd be kicked off the show permanently.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. Jeff Lutz is with me. We're here for the next couple of hours. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. So, we got to start with the Royals. Guardians showed a little fight. Got one back yesterday.
Sure.
I watched quite a bit of that game. Quite a bit of the series, actually. What do you think?
I don't know what I'm supposed to think. What do you want me to think?
Well, here's what I won yesterday. You don't have a very good club right now. And
there's nothing about it.
They did show me a little something yesterday. But the Royals start a four-game series in Houston tonight. That's tough. Guardians get a well-needed day off.
Is it?
Yes, in my opinion.
The first time you see some balls drop, the first time you see some hits fall in, the first time you really feel good about yourself, I don't know if you want.
I don't think they really feel good about themselves.
Well, they have to feel better than if they had lost.
They feel relieved that they got out of that series with a win. No question about it. But the Royals are like a... they're still on the hunt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
You got out of a trap, but there's three or
four
Royals
more. They're okay. Okay, they're good. But they're not a team that should come into Cleveland and take three or four and just bully us around and almost sweep us. I got nothing against the Royals because they actually do have the fight that you'll see more often lately. The Guardians used to have that this year. But it's frustrating because they're not great.
I know you've been around baseball. I've been around baseball. I've seen this kind of stuff before. I've seen it happen many times. A team just hits a wall out of the blue, and they just fall apart.
It hasn't really been out of the blue, though.
Well,
since the All-Star break.
And then there's that team that everything seems to go right. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, Michael Lorenzen getting hurt yesterday, that's something that hasn't gone right because he was pitching really well. He's going to be out a little bit. That hurts the Royals. They have Alec Marsh, but he's not Michael Lorenzen. But Paul DeJong comes over just having a month like he hadn't had in a long time. They're pitching. All those free agent pitchers they brought in, all of them, are successful.
Well, the two that they brought in.
They go get Lucas Urseg. Now, you dinked him a little bit yesterday.
We got to him.
Three.
Don't give me dinked.
You dinked and dunked him. Those weren't solid hits, but they were hits. You got to him. But he's been outstanding. It seems like the Royals have the golden touch right now. I don't know if next year it will continue. It may not. They may go from 56 wins to 95 wins, back to 78.
Well, they're not going
to
get 95 wins.
Well, 90 wins, whatever they're doing.
They'd have to go 11 games over 500 or something like that for the rest of the season.
You know what I'm saying. And I wouldn't put anything past them.
Well, that's what the Guardians did. They went from winning the division to last year it dropped off quite a bit. And this year they're back. They're not really back, but they are good sort of again
they
almost.
They got 28 games left. They need to go 20-8 to go to 95 wins. And I don't think that's ridiculous. It's probably
it's not ridiculous, but it's
probably not going to happen. But they'll get to 90 wins.
It's not ridiculous, but it's also not in line with what they've been doing all year. They've just been a steady team. They haven't had huge runs of wins, but they have not allowed themselves to fall into a funk either. That's all it really takes. If you don't have any stretches that are bad, you're probably going to look up in late August
pitching
and feel good about yourself.
They've got reliable starting pitching, and it's been that way from day one. And when you have that, your offense comes and goes, but your pitch when your pitching doesn't, now their bullpen has been or was erratic. It's much better now. But they're coming, man. They're coming for you.
Whatever. I mean, I don't fear the Royals. I fear the Guardians. I fear the Guardians sinking. It doesn't really matter who plays well. If the Guardians are playing bad, then it doesn't matter. Somebody will catch them.
Well, I mean. They're
coming. If they had just been playing like they had in the first half, they'd be running away with this thing.
The problem is, I know you don't want to hear this. It's always been built on a house of cards. They don't have the offense to be a threat. They just don't.
Sure they do.
No, they don't.
Stephen Kwan has not hit.
Yeah,
Josh Naylor is not hit.
That's what I'm talking about.
You put those three guys, adding Jose Ramirez with
guys who are good hit
with John Kinsey Noel and David Fry and
John Kinsey Noel could go the rest of the year hitting 160, and you know it, I know it, and the American public knows
he's not hitting 160.
You know
he's hitting around 270 with power and an OPS in the 900s.
That's a guy they'll figure out in a week.
They've already figured him out.
Why do you want to argue with me? I am the voice of wisdom when it comes to this.
No, you're not. And you'd love to have John Kinsey Noel on your team. Spark some joy. You have no joy on your team.
What do you mean?
The Guardians have very little.
Mason Wynn and Victor Scott. Those guys are. Mason's been good all year. Victor Scott's coming around. I have hope. I'm not like, I know what, we're not going to get to the playoffs this year, and they need to get rid of John Mozeliak and all that.
Well, it doesn't sound like they're going to.
But you'd love to have Victor Scott, who seems to be figuring it out, right? That's what young players hopefully do.
We'll
see. Cardinals have had a lot of them that haven't. But I've told you the first time I saw him. What did I say? Last year at Riverfront Stadium.
It's not easy to. I mean, it's not hard to see a guy who's hitting 340 with 100 steals.
340. What was I telling you? Go back in time.
And he got to the big leagues the very next year. So this isn't an epiphany you had.
What was I telling you?
Cardinals brass saw it too. So it wasn't just you.
That's my point. The brass sees what I see.
So it must have been pretty obvious, is what you're saying.
And I don't know why you're lashing out at me. I'm just trying to be real with you. And I think in your honest state, you understand it. You look at Cleveland right now, and you don't see a very good baseball team.
No, it's not even that. It's that they could try to be better. They could act with some sense of urgency.
They must not think that these prospects that you're so high on are very good.
Well, you know who I know isn't good? Tyler Freeman. So if you're just going to stick with a bad player out of fear that another guy might not be as good as you hope, then that's, a loser's mentality. And there's so much loser's mentality going on in the Guardians organization that it's hard to stomach at times. Because you know who doesn't have a loser's mentality? The Kansas City Royals.
Right. And they're trying to get there. But I'm telling you, they got their hands full with Houston this weekend. That will be the series of the weekend. Starts tonight
in Houston.
And both teams have a lot on the line. The Astros are still in a fight with Seattle.
Sort of.
Seattle's not really fighting them right now, but it's still a fight.
That's a team that's really sunk. And they're only in it because Houston is like 10 or 11 games over 500, not really running away with
Houston
it either.
Houston hasn't played well of late. Seattle has been treading water. Those two teams haven't played well. The best team currently in the American League, in my opinion, is clearly the Royals.
Clearly?
Clearly.
Mm.
That's my
opinion.
Put
the Yankees and Orioles up there.
The Yankees just got lost a series to Washington.
Everybody loses series occasionally.
The Royals aren't.
To bad teams.
The Royals aren't right now, and that's what I mean, right now. I'm talking about right now.
I wouldn't put them in the best
team. That's because you don't want to put them.
No, because I just wouldn't. Because I've watched every team, and they aren't the best.
Well, I got them going to the World Series.
That's too bad.
Why are you getting so angry with me? I'm just on this show doing what I do.
Because I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired
just
of
tired
it.
Tired of me?
Just tired of it. Just tired of all
it?
Of it.
What's it?
I'm just sickened that we've allowed the Royals to hang around here when we could have buried them a long time ago. It's not
Why
even,
are you taking that out on me?
I'm just so sick of it.
Well, but what is it? Is
just
part
so
of
sick
it,
of hearing about it.
Is part of it me?
Just so sick of hearing about it. They're not that good. You're good. They're not that good.
Man, you are struggling with this.
The Guardians, do you think the Guardians were better in April and May than the Royals are now?
I think the Royals right now, the Royals.
But I'm asking you a specific question.
Are a very dangerous team, and I always felt like the Guardians were a team that was vastly overachieving.
Then we can feel like that about the Royals, too.
I don't feel that way about the Royals.
Why?
Because they have really good pitching. And when you have, that's what my team, the St. Louis Cardinals, used to have.
Do you think Seth Lugo is going to go likely on the road in a wild card series in game one, maybe at Baltimore or New York, and win that game?
I think he's got a great shot at it. Yes, sir.
Everybody has a shot at everything, but will he go in to Yankee Stadium?
I think so. And I think Lugo
or Houston, wherever it's going to be.
Reagans, Waka, Singer, and if they get Lorenzen back, I think that's the best group of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And what I don't want is for you to be angry with me.
I don't think it is.
I'm just, well, again.
I don't think you put Michael Waka is not in a group of the best starting pitchers.
Well, sure he is.
I know he's been fine. That's all great. But he's still Michael Waka.
Yeah, he's had a very good career. What do you mean he's still Michael Waka?
He's just an okay
pitcher. He's better than anybody Cleveland has.
I wouldn't
anybody.
Agree with that.
I mean, get real. Name a starting pitcher you have who's better than Michael Waka.
Tanner Bibee should be.
But is
Matthew
he?
Matthew Boyd has been.
Is he?
Matthew Boyd right now, yeah, is better than Michael Waka.
Oh, my
Waka.
Goodness. What's wrong with
and
you,
we'll
man?
And we'll see Michael Waka or Matthew Boyd pitch tomorrow, and he'll
Michael
dominate.
Waka ranks 13th in the American League in ERA at 3.50. You know who ranks higher? Brady Singer, 10th. Cole Reagans, 9th. Seth Lugo, 4th.
Never heard of any of those guys.
Did you get my drift?
Just so sick of it.
Do you know the top rated Cleveland starter?
Yeah.
In ERA, Tanner Bibee at 16th.
He's killing it.
You want to know who's next?
Probably not.
There's no one else in the top 33.
Well, no kidding. You think I didn't know that?
Why are you getting upset
Where's
with me?
Ben
I
Lively?
Keep asking about it.
Where's Ben Lively? He's
dead.
Had a good year.
He may not have pitched enough innings to qualify. You got to pitch a lot of innings to qualify. I mean, you got to be out there.
You got to pitch one inning per team game to qualify.
And he hasn't.
He's 3.62.
Well, if 3.62 had qualified,
he's at 126.
He'd be 15th.
Okay, there you go. He's at 126 innings.
But it doesn't qualify. He's a non-qualifier is what I'm trying to tell you.
He's really close.
Here's what Ben Lively is. Not qualified.
For what?
Oh, man. I feel your pain.
No, you don't.
I've dealt with it.
I just want to be in my world. And my world is, I'm angry, I'm bitter about how the team's been playing, but I don't need to hear about the Royals. I just don't.
Well, who do you talk to about it?
You vent on Twitter.
And by the way, I don't want to get too excited. Paul Goldschmidt's getting hot for the first time all year.
Good.
For the first time all year. Do you care?
No.
Thank you a lot.
I do
That's
not.
That's the kind of support I love.
Well, you wouldn't care if Josh Naylor was getting hot.
You want to know what we have on the show for you today? Not you, but what we have on the show today. At 2:25, John Talty, an author. He's co-authored a book with Armin Katayan. It's called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. I got the book. I haven't read it yet. I just got it in the mail yesterday. And that's one I'm definitely going to read because this is such an appealing topic. And who better to write about it? I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Is he the best guy to write about it?
Yeah. And Armin Katayan, these are both highly qualified journalists.
What's the guy's name?
John Talty.
I don't know that I know him.
Well, I'll tell you all about him.
Can't wait. We're going to have a good interview with him.
At 2:45, Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at Mays South, the Mavericks. We'll talk with Coach Pfeiffer. They're having high expectations with that team. We're, eight days out now from
That's what it is.
The start of high school football?
Yeah.
And then at 3:25 today, we've got eight games. We're going to make our picks, our first picks of the year. And that'll take us into February through the Super Bowl.
Yes, it will.
Every Thursday. Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is.
Why are you so upset? You're
not
engaged today.
Yes, I am. I was just thinking about something else.
What were you thinking about?
If we'll pick the Royal Rumble since it's now after the Super Bowl.
No, we won't pick
the Royal Rumble. We won't do that?
Of course we won't.
It's too bad.
Nobody cares.
Some people do.
No, not our listening audience.
There's a few out there.
There's a few guys
care about
care.
The Royal Rumble.
You know, I get into it. I like it. I like having the guys over and tweaking you. My whole life's about tweaking you.
Well, stop. Your whole life should be about nurturing me and loving me.
At 41?
Yeah, you should be nurturing
me. I should be nurturing you?
Absolutely.
Didn't I spend enough time nurturing?
Did you nurture me ever?
Oh, God. The nurturing that went on.
I don't remember any
ridiculous.
Of it.
Ridiculous. Oh, please.
Nurturing?
Yes.
I don't think that happened.
You always had a soft landing spot.
I did.
With me.
What?
I mean, as a young kid.
Okay.
And then, I set about trying to make you a man.
And I did it.
And let me tell you about that.
I did a good job.
Let me tell you about that.
Tell me.
There's not a lot of nurturing when it comes to that.
Well, I bet I could have been a man and been nurtured at the same time.
You were nurtured to some degree. I always had your back.
Well,
but
thanks.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get out there and you're going to, you know.
Well, here I am.
Well, you're doing fine.
How do you think you did?
I think I did well.
Good.
I mean, I did okay.
You did fine.
Well, not according to you.
Yeah, I just don't remember the nurturing part of it.
Well, so what if you don't remember?
The rearing was great. The nurturing, not so much.
I nurtured you at every stage of your life. Until you were about two.
Exactly.
Then we set out on a bigger mission.
Thank you.
Is that about it?
KU plays tonight.
They do. They play Lindenwood.
Not going to glean much from that game.
Complex in Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, it's more than that. It is that, but.
First two games are there. And then they move to Arrowhead.
While
the work continues on the campus at KU on their brand new facilities, which is going to be incredible.
That might be something we can ask our author about.
We can.
What kind of advantage a facility has now? Maybe none.
Maybe none. Who knows? We will return and talk with John Talty. He is coming up next. Got a new book out, co-authored with Armin Katayan. It's called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John joins us coming up next.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, John Talty joins us. He is a national college football writer for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. He's written some books. He's teamed with Armin Katayan to write his latest book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos, and chaos being the operative word. Welcome to the show. How are you, John?
Good. Appreciate you having me on today.
You bet. So what made you and Armin decide to wade into this? Because it's such a complicated, complex, deep subject matter. I've never seen anything shift in college athletics like I've seen the last year or two. What made you guys decide to go after this topic?
I think we're gluttons for punishment. We knew this was going to be a really hard book to do. And it was, because of how much is going on and all the different ways that you could take it. But, you know, I think for us, it just felt like an opportunity that was just ripe for a deep dive book to, you know, not only explain kind of how we got here and where we're going, but I think it's so important to actually explain like what is actually happening within the sport on a human level. You know, I think, what is it like to be a head coach in this era where guys are coming in and out of your office demanding money or they're going to leave? What's it like to be a five-star quarterback who now can get more than $1 million a year just for being a good high school football player, you know, to where you want to go, that would not have been possible, you know, 5 years ago? And so I think there's a lot that we see from the outside that says, all right, it feels chaotic. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But, like, we wanted to take you deep inside that, take you to places that, you know, maybe the average person or average fan can't be, and show you, you know, what it's really like, what it means, or what it was like for, you know, to be an Alabama football player and Nick Saban walks into the team meeting room and tells you he's leaving. You know, how did that impact you? How did that change you? What did you do from there? You know, those kind of insidery details that, you know, you can't really find anywhere else.
Is this system of NIL set up for just one school to dominate? Could that happen if one school just gets so much resources that they can't be competed with? And I guess we kind of know that the Power Five, and maybe even particularly the top of the SEC and the Big Ten, are going to have those resources if it is close, and if all these schools kind of have a similar amount of money. What's the ultimate separator in how to become a long-term success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's set up just for one, because, you know, in theory, anybody can spend as much as they want, you know. And I think you're seeing, you know, I had a story for 24/7 Sports the other day looking at some of the, you know, the top spenders for this season. And, you know, you've got a school like Ohio State, which has obviously a huge fan base and is, you know, very desperate to win a national championship this year after seeing what Michigan did. And then you've got another school like Oregon, which is really reliant on one person, but that guy just happens to be the person who started Nike and has a lot of money that he wants to spend to see his favorite school win. So there's always going to be rich enough people who want to kick in and give their school a shot. You know, I think what the differentiator is, you know, it's stuff that has always been a factor, right? You know, it's, where is the campus? Do you feel comfortable there? Do you like the coaches? Do you feel comfortable with them? How are they going to develop you moving forward? I think some schools are still really good at selling that. Georgia's one of them where, you know, maybe we're not giving you the most upfront money, but you come to Georgia, you got a really good shot to win a national championship. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you have a really good shot to play in the NFL and make a lot of money down the line. So there's always different pitches that are not solely about the money, but if you don't have money, you don't have a shot right now. And we've definitely seen certain schools emerge from the pack that are more aggressive, have more money to play with, and are more willing to spend it.
John Talty, our guest, he has co-written a book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. We mentioned how complex that topic is, and I applaud you guys for approaching it and writing individual stories kind of about these topics. It's really, really a great way to go about it, in my opinion. So my point has been lately, I'm looking forward to this college football season a whole lot because of all the change, especially as it pertains to those of us who live in Big 12 country. This conference is unrecognizable to what it was just a couple years ago. But I'm not sure, John, that I'll be this interested in 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure this kind of stuff, this kind of complete change has staying power. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that?
100%. And I think that's the concern right now with college football, right? Because I'm also really excited. 12-team playoff, I can't wait to see how that looks. I think it's going to open up, you know, new opportunities for schools that, you know, maybe couldn't have gotten into the 14 playoff, but, you know, maybe you can talk yourself into, hey, Kansas got a good quarterback. Maybe we can win the Big 12 and then we're in the playoff. That I think would be huge for the Kansas fan base to have that kind of breakthrough moment. I think the concern is there are a couple factors. I think one of them that I hear from fans that would concern me long-term is, you know, we're about to kick off here on Saturday, you know, the season really starting, and they're telling me, I don't even really know who's on our team anymore. You know, I think that there's maybe not that personal attachment to the players the way it once was, because, you know, so many guys are coming and going that it's hard sometimes to, you know, this guy just got here a couple months ago. I hope he's good, but I don't really know that much about him. I don't know his story. It's harder, I think, for us to, you know, feel that attachment the way we used to when you saw maybe a guy come in as a freshman and work his way up to, you know, being a leader and captain as a senior. So that's, I think that's part of the challenge. I think the other part is, you know, the loss of rivalries along the way. You mentioned the Big 12 being almost unrecognizable. You know, we write a lot in the book about the Pac-12 imploding, and there's a loss that comes with that. You know, I went to a school that when I went there was in one conference and now it's in another, and there's an impact there. You lose games that you cared about as a fan, and you can pick up new ones and you'll pick up new rivalries. And it feels really fun early on. It feels new. It's, you know, hey, I can go on a trip. You know, if I'm a Kansas fan, like I can go on a trip to Arizona now and see our team play them or whatever it might be. But like you said, does that newness wear off in a couple of years? I think it could. And the concern would be when the newness wears off, do you still have that attachment to the sport the way you used to? And, you know, I think a lot of fans are still very excited and I am one of them, but, you know, I think that would be my long-term concern about, you know, college football losing a little bit of what makes it special along the way.
Have you begun to see a shift in the power dynamic from coaches to players now who are earning six figures, sometimes maybe even more than that? Will we ever see a pronounced shift from coaches to players in college football? And how have coaches kind of responded to all this extra money floating around? It's obviously not necessarily earmarked for them, but do they want extra perks? Are they trying to get more money because of this?
No, I don't think they're trying to get more money because of it. I think some of them would be willing to put up their own money if they could, if it meant them having better players. But, you know, coaches aren't, you know, according to the rules, at least, allowed to directly pay. But, you know, I think we've definitely seen a shift in power. I think that you could argue that players have never had more power than they do right now. Certainly have never had more leverage than they do right now, because a guy can threaten to leave at any moment and probably find a place to go and make more money. And so that makes it really hard for these coaches who for many decades had essentially all the power. You know, I'll tell you, I talked to, you know, a Power 4 coach, you know, not that long ago. And this person was, you know, theorizing, it's like one day I wouldn't be shocked if 20 or 30 of the top players essentially boycott, where they say, you know, if we don't get more money, or if we don't get this, we're not going to play. And, you know, what's the coach going to do in that situation? So we're moving closer to that world. Now, I think there's hope that there's new, you know, guidelines and rules coming down the line. But as it stands right now, that is a thing that could happen. And some of it's already happening to small amounts. There's already some of that. If you don't give me X, I'm not going to do this, happening within college football, which, as you can imagine, frustrates those coaches quite a bit.
Final moments here with John Talty. He's co-author of a brand new book out called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Armin Katan, the other co-author of this book. And I just think every college sports fan needs a copy of this. You also wrote a book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. He's in this book as well, quite prominently. Will we have coaches like Nick Saban now in this era of college football? Will coaches want to stay around as long as he did? Ultimately, won't coaches have to be paid a little less? How's this going to shake out in that regard?
Well, there's some stuff in our book where I've talked to some people who are close to Kirby Smart, and they all say, I don't think he's going to last as long as Nick Saban did. And part of it's just the pressure that these guys are under. I think we use the money as a catch-all. Well, hey, this guy makes a lot of money, so that's part of the job. And I completely understand it. Trust me, they all make a lot more than I do. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure these guys are under. The recruiting is 24/7. You're constantly fighting to keep your roster together. You're having to beg boosters to give you money for your collective. There's just a lot of stuff that these guys don't really want to deal with. And some of them are burning out. You know, they're working every weekend, 50 weeks out of the year. And that, you know, that takes a toll on guys. And so, you know, whether guys can last the way that some of these iconic coaches and Nick Saban, you know, before him, Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno, guys who coached into their 80s, it feels less and less likely unless we see some major changes. And, you know, the financial thing is interesting. You know, you would think based on like natural economic principles that, you know, if you all of a sudden now have to pay a massive amount of money to a new workforce, that would cause other salaries to go down. But, you know, the thing fighting back against that is a guy we read about in the book, and his name is Jimmy Sexton, and he's the ultimate agent. And he has done a great job at getting all of his clients a lot of money for the last 20 plus years. And so I can tell you right now, Jimmy Sexton will do everything in his power to make sure those coaching salaries do not go down. Maybe we see some slowing of the explosive, you know, growth rate and salaries. I know there's already been people that have theorized that maybe we won't see these massive buyouts being paid anymore because schools just can't really afford to do it. But, you know, schools throwing a lot of money away is something that seems like a tried and true method for them. So even though there might be a lot of reason for them to tighten it up and be smarter with their money, I'll just say this, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we could talk about this all day. I'm sure you're being requested for shows like ours quite a bit because it's an incredibly fascinating topic. I appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it. John, we'll hopefully catch up soon, and congratulations on this endeavor. I'm really looking forward to really digging into the book.
Well, I so appreciate you saying that and so appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I just think, like you said, if you're a college football fan at all, fascinated about kind of where we are and, you know, also interested in some of these big names like Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and Kirby Smart and, you know, what happened to Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, I really think this is the book for you. So I just can't wait to hear how people, you know, are enjoying it. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thanks, John. All right, there you go. Again, a never-ending fountain of interest that I have in all this. I want to see how it plays out. I'm genuinely probably more excited for this college football season than I've ever been, even when I was...
Why do you think that is?
Even when I was working and covering this stuff. I don't know. Because of all this change, I want to see where it goes.
It might not ever stop unraveling and playing out.
The drama.
Well, ultimately, the games will just be the games.
They will be. They will be. And they start in earnest tonight. A lot of games tonight, all weekend through Labor Day. including Kansas State coming up on Saturday. You can hear that game and all K-State games right here on KFH. Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at May South, we're 8 days away from the opening of high school football across the state. May South coming off a very successful 2023 season. Brent, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us on. And you guys have some of the best music when I get on here.
We really do. It's
he doesn't love Little Feet.
It's we're proud of it.
There you go.
So,
you bet.
What's going to make 2024 successful?
Well, I think, you know, if we get everybody together like we've done, the kids have done a great job this off season. We've had some of the best attendance we've ever had. Kids have put a lot of extra time in on their own on top of that. And, you know, we've got great leadership in some of our returners that are back here as seniors this year that were juniors on the field last year. So I think that leadership that they've shown in the off season, if we continue to do that and stay healthy, we'll be pretty good in the end.
One of those leaders, I assume, is your quarterback, Tate McNew, who now is a senior. Seems like he's been there forever, but he's just played a lot. So how has he evolved as a leader? What do you expect from him in that area this year and productivity-wise on the field?
Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of talent, you know, coming in as a freshman even. There was just, we saw the talent. The talent was there. He's improved his strength every year. His accuracy is getting better every year. And really, probably the biggest step is, like you said, for him over the last couple of years is his leadership, his ability to, you know, make a mistake and move on very quickly and do the same for his teammates. You know, when the young guys get in and they make a mistake, he's the first one there to pick them up and get them believing in what's going on for the next play. And you know, it's great to have a kid with that much time behind the center to lead us around.
Talking to May South football with Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach. So this is always such a tough division, AVL, CTL, division number one. We know Derby's strong every year. We know you guys are good. We know Mays is good. What's it look like?
I think it's just like you said. It gets hairy, you know. Derby's always, you know, talented. They've got a load of kids over there every year. That's a big old school with some great coaches there. And you know, Hutchinson is a team that I feel like, you know, they're just so far west that people in ABCTL like forget to mention their name. But I think they're top to bottom one of the better teams and programs in our league. You know, coach does such a great job over there. Those kids they work so stinking hard and they're well coached every Friday. They're prepared and, you know, and then, you know, you talk about, you know, Mays North over there just turns it over every year. They're finding new kids and then they show up and God dang it. They're a tough one as well. So, you know, I think top to bottom, our division one is amazing and it's fun that it's that competitive.
Yeah. Why don't they call them Mays North? That's not right. They just get to keep the name. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Just we got to remind our kids over here. People around our community are always talking about Mays this and Mays this, and they forget to add a directional. I guess so. We're just gets to be a
habit, so
I guess.
What else you? I get it. So what else are you kind of looking to do offensively? Obviously, you got the quarterback there, and he's firmly planted. I know you lost a couple of other weapons. How do you go about developing new ones?
Well, we bring back, you know, Tate gets a lot of credit and notoriety and well deserved. But we also bring back our receiver that led us in tight ends or in touchdowns last year, and Landon Gatto, and you know he'll be a 3-year starter for us, and you know, he's super talented at you know almost 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", long range, a good speed. He's really improved. He did some track this last spring, improved his speed, and you know he's a kid that we'll rely on heavily to. You know, show some of our new young receivers that have a lot of talent, you know, but he's got to, you know, show them kind of the way that things need to be done on Friday night and the speed that things are going to happen. So, you know, we'll rely on Landon quite a bit to help Tate out in getting these young kids ready to go.
Talking May South football, Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach. So you opened at home against Newton.
Or is it on the road? Because
no, it's at home.
Okay.
And yeah, then we know you play Mays and Derby and Hutchinson and the teams in your division. Who's on your non-conference schedule this year?
Well, there was some changes late. You know, that kind of changed for us in this new cycle. So, you know, we had, let me think, how did that work out again? Newton went down to Division II, and then Valley Center came up to Division I. And just the way it shook out with what our schedule was supposed to be, and then how it turned out that our schedule was, we ended up actually just keeping those two teams on. So we ended up keeping Newton on. I really don't know. At the end of the day, some athletic director somewhere is in charge of putting the schedule together. And in the spring, they're like, here, it's final. There it is. And so our non-conference this year is Newton and Arc City.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
So then we what's have the 5A looking derby. Like?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go. No, you're perfect. Go. If you want to continue, please do.
Well, you mentioned the Mays and Derby and Hutchinson games, and those three are for us. When they change the schedule around and fix it all, and with all the changes, they put those guys all at the end for us. So 6, 7, 8 is Mays, Derby, Hutch for us. So it'll be right there before the playoffs will be a pretty good battles.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Class 5A. We know it's always loaded. Capen got to the state championship last year, but loses their running back.
And they're going to 4A.
And they're in 4A, that's correct. And I guess you don't play them, but what kind of have you heard about Carroll? Because last year was an uncharacteristically kind of down year for them. So what have you heard about them and just the class overall in 5A?
Well, you know, we're pretty connected in our communities. They've got a lot of kids that live around here, and our kids grew up together and attend services and things like that. And so, you know, we do some stuff with them in the summer, some 7-on-7 and some camp things like that. We hang out with that staff a little bit. That Dusty Trail and his group are just great men and good mentors for young kids. And so we do a lot of things together in the off season, and we get our kids together. The kids know each other, and it's a lot of fun to kind of play around with your friends a little bit. Some, and you know, we'll see what those guys come up with. You know, they've got tough kids over there. I can tell you what, if you're not a tough kid, you're not on the team. So when they show up on Friday night, you have to be prepared because they're well coached. They're in the right spots. So you know, we'll see what they can put up there this year.
Brent Pfeiffer, our guest from Mays South. We just had an author on the show. He's co-authored a book about this era of college football with NIL, transfer portal, everything that goes with that. You're on the high school level, obviously. Is there any seepage into the high school level from this stuff? And if so, how much? And if not, when do you expect that to start to happen? Because it just feels like we've entered this era that there's no turning back from, and I don't know where it's going to lead us to.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, we could talk for hours on this thing. It's unbelievable. I really
know.
Think kind of what happens at the – you know, that's I think like everything else in our world right now, there's a trickle down, and so if something's going on in the NFL, then the kids at the college level are like, we want this and we want to do this, and then that comes down, and eventually it gets to us, and I think it's here already. You know, there's a lot of kids, you know, are hearing how much money they can make here and there. And, you know, there's positives and negatives. I think the positive is there's more kids now at the high school level that are looking for additional training. You know, there was weightlifting in Kansas, I think, and the kids that would do stuff in their local high schools has always been, I think, one of the better states in the country, really. Like, we've done a really good job in the state about keeping up with the trends and stuff like that when it comes to fitness and strength. But now we've got kids that are going out and they're getting extra training with route running and quarterbacks. There's position-specific coaches that are out there, and the kids are going out and they're getting in 1, 2, 6 hours a week in the off season, trying to get better, and all in hopes of, you know, maybe that paying off in the end, and maybe them able to get a scholarship where they're getting some money. And but, you know, on the flip side of that, then you've got kids that, you know, they see people just, you know, without the loyalty to a certain school, just leaving and going here and going there and going there and chasing it all. And they're not happy we leave and go somewhere. And that's, you know, that's not what football was supposed to be about. That this game is supposed to be about hard work, determination, loyalty and grit. And so we lost maybe a little bit of that as this thing trickles to us. So we've got to find a way to make that right. And I think that's just on us coaches to hold ourselves accountable. You know, what kind of program do you want to run? What kind of character and expectations do you want within your program from your kids and your parents? And you got to be okay with holding true to what you believe in and who you want your kids and your families to stand for.
Yeah, you kind of touched on something I was going to ask you about in regards to that. Do you think high school football can and will maintain its kind of innocence, I guess, in a way? There's not much, you know, more Americana than Friday football in your community and getting everyone out and seeing everybody. Will it feel as romantic as it still does now in a few years?
I hope so. You know, I think that's something we just have to, as a society and as communities, we've got to just fight for. I really believe that's something we got to stand up for and fight for, believe in, that we've got to find a way to keep these young kids, you know, at 14, this kid's not 25 out of college and chasing a career. This kid's 14, and there's a lot of life lessons to be learned here. And that life lesson isn't to just, when you're not happy, leave, quit, not build relationships, be loyal to those relationships, not put the work in. You know, we've got to hopefully hold on to that innocence. These kids deserve it. You know, it's the game's done so much for so many young men over the years that to lose that would just be a travesty in my mind. And we've really got to stick to it and hold ourselves accountable. And I think that's, you know, coaches as a staff, I have to hold our coaches to that. The coaches have to hold me to it. I need, you know, people within my school and within my community holding me and our staff to that same thing. And if there's a circle of accountability and expectation and everybody's on the same page, I believe that can happen. You know, when the community next to you doesn't do that or starts to trickle in there, then, you know, it just makes it harder on us that are hopefully trying to do the right thing. And, you know, so hopefully we can maintain that. You know, I think that's an important part of our society for young men growing up.
And I believe continued communication about it is imperative. So I hope all the coaches out there are talking to their parents and their kids and their families and keeping them abreast of all this, because, like I said, it's not going away. Brent, yeah, Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Always great to visit with you, and keep playing.
Thank you. Brent Pfeiffer, the head football coach at May South. We love talking
we
to our high
school coaches.
We
assume he said something very complimentary
there
at the end.
Bob, you're so much better than your son.
Wow, he did?
And
How'd you make that out?
You should ask for a raise.
No, ask for
I believe
one.
That's what was said. So we'll be back with hour number two. We've got picks coming up. Jason Duda will join us. Max will join us. And we'll embark down this long road that leads to me winning. Stay with us.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-host. Max Power producing and engineering the show. We will be back here tomorrow. We hope you are as well, don't we?
Absolutely.
Be nice.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday.
Is Duda on tomorrow?
No, he's not. He's at his other gig.
So we're not going to play Password tomorrow?
We are not.
I think that disappoints a lot of people. Not me, but some.
Don't forget, Cody Jenks is coming to Intrust Bank Arena November 23rd, 7:30 p.m. We have a way for you to win tickets. You can text Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. One entry per day, please. We will have multiple winners, but we ask that you enter just once per day. Message and data rates apply to go see Cody Jenks. Now, that's not one that interests me. Would that draw you to interest?
Probably won't go, but I need to have an honest conversation with someone about how many people will go see Cody Jenks at Interest Bank Arena.
Is it just him?
I don't know. He'd been on tour with somebody big, I feel like, recently. But this sounds like this is his headlining tour. Cody Jenks is out there. I don't know, and I'm not saying he's not, but I'd be somewhat skeptical that he's ready to be playing 12,000-seat arenas.
Well, I mean, Cody might disagree with you.
He seems like he was... he's not in Jason Eadie's realm. He's above that, but he's not like way, way above it.
Well, he might have a strong disagreement with
him. He sure might.
He's currently touring. He's playing New Braunfels, Texas, coming up
tomorrow. Yeah, he's a Texas guy.
He's there for two nights, and he'll be all over the place.
What venue?
Well, I don't know. I'm not aware. Is it Tanner Urs? He's with Tanner Urs Usry, USREY.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like – that seems like the opener instead
of – And he's with Jake Worthington. And then Josh Malloy. Any of those mean anything to you?
I feel like I've heard of the last two. Not the first guy.
Here in Wichita, he's with Jason Boland and the Stragglers.
Yeah, they are a very popular band on that sort of scene. So they will draw probably better than Cody would.
Well, he's the headline.
Well, he needs Jason Boland to bring in more people. I still don't know if they're going to draw a ton. Because Jason Boland is a guy who's a little underground. He's
How about
good.
This? He's playing, I love this kind of stuff. On November 12th, he's with Ward Davis. Do you know him?
No.
They're in Anchorage, Alaska, playing that night. On November 15th, they're in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? That had to be done on purpose.
Well, I'm sure it was.
We're going to play Alaska one night, and three nights later, we're going to play Hawaii.
That flight is not one I'd want to be on, but good for him.
I think that'd be so much fun.
Surely he's got to stop in a mainland somewhere.
Nowhere.
I know, not to play, necessarily. You think he's flying straight from Alaska
sure
to Hawaii, just over the entire Pacific Ocean?
Give me a mileage on Anchorage to Honolulu.
I will.
As a crow flies, it doesn't seem like that far.
Well, you know what's going to fly? The plane. So I bet it's fairly...
Here's what I'll guess. 2,700 miles.
Oh, it's got to be more than... Way more than that.
2,700 miles.
To Honolulu?
Anchorage to Honolulu.
All right.
Give me the mileage.
Oh, man. I hate everything.
What is it?
I don't know. I didn't show.
No, tell me what it is.
2782. I hate it. I hate. I just hate it.
Why can't you be happy for me?
Just not.
I mean,
it seems like it should be way more, but what do I know?
Well, that's what you said, but you're.
Isn't it like 3,000?
Why are you begging? Why don't you just say, well, that's amazing. My dad was 80 miles off.
Anchorage is way at the bottom of Alaska.
Yeah, but there you go again.
What are some of the top cities in Alaska?
Anchorage is the top city.
I'm talking about northern.
Well, you're talking about the north country.
I don't think that's a thing. Because you get into some of these northern cities in Alaska... Then the mileage to Honolulu.
But what did I say?
I don't remember.
Why can't... I don't get it.
Because that's...
Why most people would say, wow, that's pretty amazing. But not my son.
I'm going to write this down. Do you know we have a northernmost city? I don't even know how to say it.
Of Alaska?
In the United States, but it's in Alaska.
Well, of course it's in Alaska.
Obviously.
How do you spell it?
UTQIAG with an accent.
Utigua.
VIK.
Utigvik.
Sure. And you want to know that mileage?
To Honolulu?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another 800 miles.
800? You think it's only 800 from the bottom? It probably is. Who cares? Utigvik to. It's hard to. Type all this.
Just get it done. People don't want to hear how hard it is.
It's tough. There's flights. 3,451 miles.
You know who... Okay, another 800 miles.
Ish,
like I said.
Yeah.
Right on top, right there. Why? What? When are you going to...
I wonder how you
pronounce
that.
What do you have to say to our audience?
I don't have anything to say.
You know, I don't know why... You can't, you talk about nurturing and the fact that you didn't feel it. I feel no nurturing from you.
Nor should you.
Most sons would say, man, that's pretty impressive.
I didn't want you to be right on that one.
Why?
It just annoys me. Why? Why would you be right? It was just a guess.
An educated guess.
What was educated about it?
Because I've told you, and you refuse to believe
geography.
It.
I get that.
You refuse to believe it.
But what do you see in your brain? What comes up before you say out loud 2,700 miles? What do you see?
I see the map, and I.
But there's
I know,
no real map.
But I see the map
from,
and I do the math in my head. Okay, I know what an inch represents in mileage, and I just do the math. That's all. Let's just be honest. On a little bit different level than you.
Let's do Boston to Dallas.
Does that bother you?
No. Boston to Dallas.
Dallas?
I'm going to get you on one of these.
All right. How close do I have to be?
I don't know.
Boston to Dallas. Between 17 and 1800.
I hate you.
What is it?
1786. You're cheating. I think Max is in your ear. Is that what's happening?
You think Max can look that up?
Because you repeated it. Boston to Dallas, so he could Google it a few times. I think that's what's going on.
Oh,
I'm not doing any more of that.
You're done with that?
Yeah, that game is over.
Well, you've lifted my spirits, I'll tell you that right now.
That game is absolutely over.
You know who's going to be and already is a good player? Can I just say it? And I know I'm talking about a team that's not going anywhere and whatever, but Mason Wynn's a good player and will be for the next 15 years. Now, will the Cardinals have him that long? I don't know. They better.
Impossible to know. You better sign him to an extension after this season because that's not going to be so affordable if he keeps playing well.
But he's a real guy.
He's good. Does he have Francisco Lindor upside? Will he ever hit with that much power?
Well, he's got 12 homers this year as a 22-year-old.
So maybe.
I think 20 to 25 is probably his cap. And I'm not sure he'll get there. But he can run. He's defensively good. And I'm glad we have him.
We know about his arm strength.
You want to give me one more?
Not
because
really.
This is a little bit. I mean, it doesn't have to be a long one. You can give me anything.
All right. Seattle. To Detroit.
Seattle to Detroit. Well, that's about the same as Boston to Dallas.
You think so?
It's in that neighborhood. I'll say 16 to 1700 miles.
It's from the airport in Detroit to Seattle, it's 1922. You suck.
Make you feel better? Did that really make you feel better?
It was just embarrassing for you.
That's embarrassing.
A little bit.
All right, let me do one for you.
I'm going to be so bad at this. I'll try though. I'm gonna really put some thought into it, and I'm gonna really think about it, which is the same way of saying I'm gonna put some thought into it. But I'm gonna do a good job here.
I got one for you.
All right, hit me.
Houston.
Houston's way down.
Omaha.
Houston to Omaha.
Easy.
Okay, it's about 10 hours, maybe 11 from here. So it's about a 16-hour drive. You're going six, so you're about 1,000 miles.
890.
Really?
You missed that way off, as far as I'm concerned. That was
maybe.
Terrible.
I was going to, I thought it would be in the 900s, so I just bumped it up to 1,000. But it was in the high 800s.
Here's another one. Don't look.
All right.
Don't you dare look.
I'm not looking.
I got to find the exact mileage.
Well, let's do it then, because I can't just fill all this time while my brain is just into gear.
All right, here's a good one. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, I understand.
To Miami.
Raleigh
to Miami.
Raleigh is sort of inland. I don't think they're on the ocean. Miami is way down there.
Raleigh's close to the ocean.
It is?
So Raleigh to Miami.
Is this as the crow flies?
Give the distance.
I'm thinking. It's about probably 4 hours from Raleigh to Atlanta. And it's probably about 10 hours from Atlanta to Miami. Maybe less, 8. So we'll say 12 hours times 60, 720. So it's going to be 650 miles.
800.
Gosh dang it.
You're terrible at this. You have no feel.
I have some feel.
805.
That's not as the crow flies, though. You've got them bending around the state there.
805 miles.
You didn't go across the
you
ocean.
Want one more or not?
I no oceans in this one.
No, this is how far it is.
Yeah, but that's not as the crow flies. I'm looking at it.
Are you ready?
You did me wrong on that one. But yeah, I'll do one more. And don't cheat, because I know you like to. Every time I get one wrong or you get one right, that's cheating.
All right, here's one.
Okay.
Chicago. To Albuquerque.
So that's
Chicago to Albuquerque.
That's probably, again, about 15 hours in a car or so. So 900, and then you're going to take a few off. That's 820 miles.
1,337.
No, it's not. Look at that. That's bending all the way down.
1,337.
Well, that's not a good route. There's no J
you
route.
You have confirmed what we all know. You don't know a thing about geography. You know, all you're trying to do is how long would it take to drive it?
Well, how long would it?
Ridiculous. 1,337 miles. Chicago to Albuquerque.
Terrible route you put in.
Terrible.
20-hour drive? That can't be right.
Yeah, 19 hours and 58 minutes.
So that would have been 2,400. I don't know what it would have been. See, but look at that route.
Remember when I used to call you?
Well, let's go into southern Tennessee.
Remember the nickname I used to have
over
for you? That involved Joey Jackson, former Shocker baseball player.
Mm-mm.
Do you remember it?
Nope.
Do you really or not?
Don't.
You really don't remember?
Nope. Don't.
Do you remember what I said?
No.
You do remember.
Joey Jackson was one of my favorite Shockers.
I don't know why I had this nickname in association with Joey Jackson.
Well, I do because it rhymed.
What was it?
I don't remember.
No, it was Clueless.
I know what it was.
Instead of shoeless, you were clueless, Joey Jackson.
Right. I understand. I was there. I lived it.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did well. I think I acquitted myself nicely.
No, I mean, did you enjoy clueless Joey Jackson?
Is that nurturing to you?
And you didn't acquit yourself nicely.
I think I did.
You'll need to do better on your picks, and we're going to make those next. 8 college games on the docket. Some of them really good.
Some of them. Not so
not
good.
Not great. But we're going to pick them anyway. KU and K-State should handily win their openers. But big point spreads in both. Max will join us along with Jason Duda. Our first picks of the season coming up next. This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Jason Duda joins us, as does the big fella, Anthony, who's agreed to be involved in these picks, along with Max. So I just have one more person to beat, and I welcome the challenge. Anthony, it's not going to go well for you, but welcome.
That's a matter of opinion.
Well,
I think I could beat you in my half sleep.
Well, ask Duda about that. Duda, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking, Bob.
Silence of the lamb.
Thank you for answering.
What was Anthony saying under his breath? Is he already tired of Duda, too? I mean, this runs deep.
No, interesting. It was silence
now,
of the
now,
lamb.
Boys.
Duda couldn't even, Duda
pretty
couldn't
standard
even ask
around
the
this question.
So he's a no-brainer. I got this. This is a
We're,
lot.
We're going to make pit. Max, let's get the music going. As we'll do this for the next 3.5 years, we'll start
seems like it.
With an interesting game. North Dakota State from FBC coming up to play Colorado. Colorado at home, a 9.5-point favorite. I'll start this one. Boy, this is a interesting game. And, of course, I know nothing about North Dakota State except they have great history. I think Colorado will hit the ground running, literally. I like we pick 1 through 8 points with 8 games, and I'll pick Colorado for 4. Jeff?
I feel like either Colorado is going to cover or North Dakota State is going to win outright. I don't see any in-between there. I'll err on the side of Colorado winning at home with their 2 NFL highly touted prospects for 2 points.
2 points. We go to Jason Duda making his first pick of the year.
Ooh.
Well, considering Jeff thinks that either they're going to win outright or Colorado's going to cover, it's going to end up in the middle. So I'll take the points for 1.
North Dakota State.
So brave.
Let's now hear from Max, who's pretty good at this. Max, who you got in this one?
Well, I think, you know, Dion's at home. He's now in that dish commercial as a pigeon, so I'm taking Colorado for 3.
Colorado for 3. And Anthony, you get to make this pick. Who do you have covering, and how confident are you?
Well, I'm going to say it like this. There's a lot of beef out there on that field, a lot of buffalo and bison running up and down the field, but I'm going to take Colorado cover.
And how many points are you willing to put on that? How confident are you? We call them confidence points. Between 1 and 8. 1 being the lowest, obviously.
Between 1 and 8? Man, give me an 8. I'm feeling prime.
Now, you only get 1 8-point pick. So you pick each game based on confidence points.
1 through 8.
But 1 through 8. So do you want to go your 8-pointer on Colorado?
Yeah, I'm taking my 8-pointer on Colorado. I'm feeling prime time.
Okay. There you go.
He likes it.
Next, we've got one of those intersectional battles, TCU and Stanford, although there's really none of that anymore. Stanford now in the ACC. TCU on the road, a 9.5-point favorite against the Cardinal. Jeff.
I know nothing about Stanford. They must be god-awful. But I'm taking them anyway for 1.
Stanford for 1. Jason Duda.
Who are they playing? TCU?
TCU.
Yeah, well, if Jeff knows nothing and he took Stanford, I'll take TCU for 2.
And you know nothing.
That's a, well, Max, What are you going here?
I know John Elway is not walking through that door, but just outside of Berserkly, I'm taking Stanford for two.
Loves his California.
Of course.
What about you, big fella?
I'm going with the boys from the Big 12. I'm taking TCU.
How many points you want to put on it?
I'll say TCU 5.5 points.
No, you get 1 through 8 confidence through points.
He's been watching Danny's Pizza Reviews.
You've already used your 8.
Yeah, I already used my 8, so I'm going with 5.
5. I'll take TCU. I'm a little more confident. I think they'll go on the road and do well. 6 points for me. So, Anthony, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7 left. Penn State, this is a game that intrigues me. Penn State, highly ranked out of the Big Ten, in Morgantown to play West Virginia. West Virginia getting 8.5 points at home, where they're pretty good. Duda, you start us off.
Yeah, like I said, I don't really get started in this till Thanksgiving, but I'll take West Virginia.
And then you really never
at the win the points for 3.
West Virginia for 3. Max,
he's Penn State's ranked 8th, Duda, and West Virginia just has the boarhead bad meat. I'm taking Penn State for 5. They ain't eating any boars head. Compromise elsewhere.
Yeah, that makes just about as much sense as my pick, Max. Good job.
Both picks terrible. Anthony, what about you?
I'm going to take... I don't have no confidence in West Virginia. I'm going with Penn State, and I'm taking my 7-point confidence points on them.
7 points for Penn State.
I thought 5 was high.
Using them up.
West Virginia is a complete unknown. I think they're going to be okay. I always feel like Penn State's vastly overhyped. I'm taking West Virginia, but only for 1. I have no confidence. Jeff?
I don't have much confidence in this game either. However, I've already used my 1 and my 2, so I have to take the home team. You always tell me how tough it is to play in West Virginia. I feel like if you're wrong, I should get these points back. West Virginia for 3.
Yeah, Bob will be giving you those points back, Jeff.
Yeah, never. He'll subtract more, I'm sure.
We have Clemson and Georgia, the game of the weekend. You could make a case for Notre Dame, Texas A&M, which we'll pick in a moment. Clemson and Georgia meeting in Atlanta. The Georgia, almost a 2-touchdown favorite, 13.5. Max?
You're ranked number 1 now, Bob. Clemson's 14, so I'm going to go with Georgia for 4.
Georgia for 4. Anthony?
I'll take the same 4 on Georgia.
4 for Georgia. I will go Georgia for 7. I like Georgia in this one. Jeff?
Clemson is just a name at this point. They might be ranked. They might go to some bowl game. But they're not on the level of Georgia anymore. Georgia for 8.
Georgia for 8. Let's see what Duda says. What do you have, Jason?
Easy. Georgia for 8. I wanted to take KU for 8, but I don't think we're picking them. So that's disappointing.
Yeah,
I guess I'll
be
on the other side of them forever.
There you go. We're picking KU. Miami on the road in their home state to play Florida in Gainesville. Miami a 2.5-point favorite. Let's start with Anthony on this one. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going to roll the dice, and I'm going to say I actually like Miami, but my confidence points is at 3 because 3. Of Gainesville.
I think this is a tough one as well. I just don't know what to expect of Florida. And I know Miami will probably end up being disappointing. I'm taking Florida for 2. Jeff.
I don't think Miami's going to end up being disappointing. They got a good quarterback out of the portal.
We'll see.
They got some other good weapons out of the portal. I've got Miami for 7.
Wow.
That's right.
Duda?
Yeah, who knows? I got Miami for 4.
Well, I'm on an island. Max?
Yes, you are. I'm taking Miami for 6. Florida doesn't have much.
Come on, Gators. Notre Dame and Texas A&M in College Station, another of the big games of the weekend. A&M a home favorite at only 2.5 points. I start here. I'm picking A&M for 8. Jeff.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're at home, and it's a very low point total, point spread.
Yeah, Notre Dame's going
to win. I think they'll win by a field goal.
Notre Dame's going to win this game.
Okay, well, pick them.
I will. Notre Dame for 5.
Duda?
Well, I don't have a clue. So I'll go A&M for 5 because I don't think Jeff has any clue what he's doing.
Well,
Max, mark that I don't have a clue for a promo later. Just loop it.
Well, while you're doing it, mark the Anchorage to Honolulu.
Sure, go for that.
How many miles from Anchorage to Honolulu, Duda?
3,800.
You're 1,100 off. Max, who do you like in this game? A&M, Notre Dame.
I was just wondering, Jeff, who are these picks brought to us by, Jeff?
You know who they're brought to you by. Are we still doing that?
Yes.
They're brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just go use that promo code LOOTS, and you won't believe the unbelievable perks you'll get out of it.
All right,
well, of course you won't believe them if they're unbelievable.
I'm going to use
those. Hey, Max, who are you picking here?
I'm using those unbelievable Jeff picks to take Texas A&M for 8.
Uh-oh.
And, big fella, you get the final say on this game.
Okay, which numbers do I have left to use at my disposal?
You've got 1, 2, and 6.
1, 2, and 6, okay. I feel pretty confident. Texas A&M with the 12th man, I just don't know what to expect from Notre Dame, even though I like their coach. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M, new coach. The hype is going to be there. Give me 6 points and Texas A&M at home.
All right. Now we've got our in-state schools both playing teams. They will overwhelm. It's a matter of how much will they overwhelm them. Lindenwood visiting Kansas this evening. The Jayhawks, actually, this game in Kansas City. But you know what I mean. KU, a 44.5-point favorite. Jeff.
I don't think Lindenwood will score more than 3. So can KU score 7 touchdowns-ish? Yeah. KU for 4.
KU for 4. Jeff, Jason.
44.5. They should cover that, but it just seems too much. I got Lindenwood for 6.
Oh, my God.
KU, Pat.
Just, what an absolute disaster!
Just a dumpster fire.
Well, Max, I only got 6 and 7 left, boys.
I haven't heard.
Yeah,
from,
but come on,
wrong team is what we're really talking about.
Max, what do you think?
I haven't heard from KU, Pat, but 44.5 is so much that I only could take KU for 1. It's a lot of points.
It's a lot, but it's also Lindenwood.
Yeah, but they might be up 40-3 and go, yeah, let's just let them rest.
Yeah, at halftime. Anthony.
I ain't going to lie. When I heard that Lindenwood, I thought that was some department store. Like, I don't have too many numbers.
I dated a woman named Linda Wood one time.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Why do you have to?
You didn't. That didn't happen. No, go ahead, Anthony.
Thank you, Jeff. That's great.
I have numbers 1, 1, and 2. And
1 and 2.
Now? 1 and 2.
That's 1 and 2.
Well, I guess my highest number, Kansas and 2. This is not going to be a pretty game.
And finally, me. I have the utmost confidence here in Kansas this is an easy one in my opinion. Kansas for five. Finally, Tennessee Martin visiting Manhattan Saturday. They are a 37.5 point underdog. We start with Duda, who will bet 7 points on?
Too many points. Tennessee Martin.
We'll wait for Thanksgiving for Duda to really kick in here. Max?
Can't wait.
I'm not waiting till Thanksgiving. I'm taking K-State for 7.
All right. Why K-State for 37.5, but not more confidence in KU?
Because 44.5 is just that's just a too much.
And Lindenwood's a notch below Tennessee Martin.
I haven't heard from KU.
All right,
so.
Big fella, you got 1 point on which team?
Emaw, Erie Man of Wildcat.
K-State. I like K-State as well, and I like them for 3. Jeff?
6.
K-State for 6.
Yes.
So Duda out there on that lonely island.
Weird island.
That anti-Kansas island that
Love
he wants
it.
To stay on. And
no,
you know
you
what?
Don't.
KU Pat, yours truly, Jeff, we'll all help him move. Max, Anthony, we'll meet at Duda's house this weekend and help ship him off.
I don't know what your gambling habits, Duda, are like in real life, but surprised you still own a home.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm doing okay.
I can make Duda
laugh. I still got a bed to lay in tonight.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Anthony, I'll get your email so I can email you these games on a weekly basis, okay?
All right. That sounds good.
Are you going to email to me,
right,
Bob?
All right.
I did email them to you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he did. JDuda11 at hotmail.com. There it is.
Oh, great. Now
yeah, you got them.
I don't got them.
Well, you know, nobody's going to.
I don't need them to beat you guys.
So you did not get the games?
I did not.
Did you check your spam?
No.
That's where all my dad's emails go on mine, so I get it.
That's a lot of work.
Get with it. Get off my air.
Okay, see ya.
All right, we'll do it again. We'll do it again next week. Good to hear Anthony and Duda, our buddies. We may tease each other, but at the end of the day, there's unparalleled love and respect for each other on this show.
For real?
Yeah, I feel that.
That's cool. You have that for me?
Sure.
Unparalleled love and respect?
Sure. Everybody.
No, I'm not talking about everybody.
Everybody on this show.
This isn't an everybody matters. I'm asking if I matter.
Everybody on this show I feel that way about.
But specifically me, do you feel that way about?
Everybody. All of you. All 4 of you. Max included.
But say my name specifically.
Jeff, too.
Jeff, too. Okay, well, that's close.
Jeff's included.
Thanks.
What's wrong with that?
Just say, yeah, Jeff, I love and respect you.
Yeah, Jeff, I love and respect you due to Anthony and Max.
That's what I thought.
Well, I mean, why would I not include them?
You can include, as I said, everybody's included, but some people need the emphasis.
Tell me what you want me to say again.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey?
Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
Not now.
Not now.
Starting now.
Starting now. Where are you going with this?
Jeffrey. I love you.
I love you.
I respect you.
I respect you.
Period.
Period. As well as the other guys making picks on this show.
That's not a sentence.
Period. Comma.
Period, comma.
As
you're inventing new ways to write and speak.
I don't mind a period followed by a comma.
So an editor would.
Here's future Bob.
Oh.
Bob, welcome. How are you?
Oh, a lot bad. I just wanted to inform you two gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, real quick. Before you start.
Now let him talk.
Oh.
Go ahead, Bob.
Lindenwood is a power in college bowling. because I know Wichita State's defeated both women and men's in the past and won that WSU, and then they beat WSU a few times.
Yeah, Lindenwood's always in the mix in the
college. All right, well, that's good to know, Bob. The fact that
future Bob.
What'd you have to say to Bob?
Bob, I really would have appreciated you telling me that the Guardians were going to win yesterday. I wouldn't have had to put myself through sheer agony. These are the things
like
as future Bob.
Too, but
thank you.
It's just one of them
things. They're falling apart,
right?
aren't they?
Kind of like your dad saying, they're just in the funk. And
my dad? You mean you?
Well, no, well, yeah. But I don't know.
We'd love to meet you someday. You're fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for putting up with Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you're a good guy, and we always enjoy taking your calls.
Okay. Well,
I'll meet you for tapioca sometime.
All right.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wish you'd.
Bye.
That's one of the nicest people.
Oh, I love him.
You know what?
That's why I want to hang out with him.
You know what I'd hope he'd do if you hung out with him?
What?
Punch you right in the nose.
Well, that'd be you. So, is he still there?
He is.
Bob, just hang out.
You have my permission, Bob.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I'll talk to you some other time. Take her easy.
All right. Thank you.
Is Max
alive? That guy is so Americana.
What do you mean Americana?
He's just a guy.
I
can relate to him. I grew up with him. He lived down the block.
You did grow up with him.
He's just the kind of guy that could have very easily lived
in your own house.
1000 block of North Baltimore.
The 1000.
When I was growing up. 1000. We called it 1034. Not 1,034.
It's still the 1,000 block.
No, we didn't call it that. We call it the 1,000 block.
What if I lived at 2088? What block would I call that?
That's the 2000 block.
2000 block?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How high do blocks go up?
As far as you go.
There's not like a... I guess there is.
Yeah, there's the...
Are there a lot of 7,000 blocks
sure
out there?
Sure there are.
Okay.
There's five-digit blocks.
I know. But those are for fancy people.
Well, you're not that.
I know.
I'll tell you that right now.
How come three-number blocks, too, are also for fancy people?
They're four, not. Two numbers are. Three numbers aren't.
Yeah. I live at 108.
No, that's not fancy. If you lived at 37 Rockford, then that's probably fancy.
Who lives there?
Or if you really want to go up a scale, if you lived at 3 Bellevue,
who lives
then
there?
Then you've got something cooking.
47 Rockford?
Nobody lives at 47 Rockford.
That's what I made up. Oh, there's a Rockford.
What was the highlight of this show today?
Future Bob.
Me coming within 80 miles of the distance between Anchorage and Honolulu.
You think so?
Because of your reaction. It
what
just
was my
irritated
I
you.
Remember.
It made you angry.
I was a little.
Give me one more in the time we have left.
All right. Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana.
Two.
I got to think for a minute on exactly where Billings is. I think I know. I believe it's in the south central part.
To Wheeling, West Virginia.
Billings, Montana to Wheeling, West Virginia. That's a long trip. That's 2,600 miles.
No. It's 1,700 miles.
No, it's not. You're wrong about that.
Billings is in the north or the southeast corner of Montana.
Well, then it's 1,700 miles if you'd told me that.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
First of all, Billings, you have to really think about where Billings is.
You didn't.
So you were unfair on that one.
You missed it.
That one was not fair. We'll be back tomorrow. Jeff and I will. We hope you're with us. See you then.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.